Welcome to my Love Life Podcast, episode number 226, Making Peace with the Past. It's February 28th, 2024. I'm your host, Lisa A. Lundy, author, blogger, YouTuber, motivational speaker, and so on. I am also a member of the Newsweek Expert Forum. What I do is I help people be happy, healthy, and well-loved, even when life is extremely difficult. As my disclaimer, this podcast does not constitute medical or therapy advice in any way. There is no longer any music for my podcast intros or outros. I invite you to join the movement and request other podcasters and social media content creators to ditch music when combined with voice. That would be amazing. End of non-musical podcast intro. Making peace with the past. Oh boy, this is a doozy. Before I bring this to the fore, I do want you to know if you're feeling suicidal or life is too hard for you or you feel hopeless or you just can't get it together, my request is you call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or call or text 988-988. I promise you that there's help available. You're worth saving. You're worth it. You matter. So make that call or text. And as I mentioned in my podcast non-musical intro, nothing I say in any of my podcasts or my content in any format is designed to be medical or therapy advice. Making peace with the past. This is a very complex and multifaceted process or idea that is, in my humble opinion, extremely significant for your life, your well-being, your peace of mind. Yet it is not something that we frequently or usually talk about openly out in the world. You will occasionally hear a nod to the past not being complete or being no peace when you hear someone say, well, they've got a lot of baggage, or, oh, is that some of your baggage? A reference to baggage is usually a nod or a direct reference to something that there's no peace to from the past. Now, in your life, you have both positive and negative situations, experiences, events, and you may or may not have made peace with some of that or a lot of that. I don't know. I do know what a lot of people do because I've been coaching people for a long time and I have a lot of experience. What I'm going to lay out is some kind of different aspects or elements that are involved in making peace with the past. Now, if you don't make peace with your past, now I'm talking about negative events. The beautiful things in your life, they're just beautiful memories. There's no trauma or pain associated with them. And we don't typically refer to beautiful life experiences as baggage. We typically refer to them as beautiful life experiences. But what's very likely, if you don't make peace with the negative, bad experiences, pain, what have you, it's very likely that you will simply carry it forward into your present life. And when we speak about that, we say your past is in your present life, which is very common. So I want to just kind of run through a general list of what are the kinds of baggage that people carry forward. What are the negative experiences that people have trouble making peace with from the past? Well, here's a list. 1, traumas. 2, adverse childhood experiences. 3, breakups. 4, divorces. 5, cheating or infidelity. 6, failures. 7, death. 8, illnesses or health issues, which could be yours or someone else's. Domestic abuse or domestic violence, fraud, betrayal, bad people or dangerous people, dysfunctional or toxic parents, siblings, or families, poverty or financial issues, homelessness, abandonment, emotional problems like depression, anxiety, etc. things that you did not finish or complete, regrets, mistakes, lost opportunities, which could include jobs, relationships, etc., broken dreams or unfulfilled dreams, crime, that could be you being the victim of a crime, or that could be you committing a crime or somehow involved in crime, things you didn't say or do or express, that could be unexpressed thoughts, emotions, or activities, being used or exploited, and 25 is misunderstandings. And I do realize I stopped numbering them at a certain point, but that's okay. So there are that's just a list of many common ones, but there are an infinite number of experiences that you may have had in life that are distressing, painful, and unless you know the process and go through the process to get complete, it kind of nags at you. And for some people, I'll get into later, it's worse than nagging it. So what do I mean by being complete or having peace? Well, there is a process to getting complete with a person, an event, a situation, a success or a failure, a death or life challenge, any situation. There's a process to getting complete, which I have actually, I think I have a podcast on. At 226, I've lost track of all my podcasts. I have to look at my list. But that involves, creating the space where you feel whole about whatever happened. That doesn't mean whatever happened went your way. It doesn't mean things went well, but you have a sense of it being finished. You have a sense of closure. You have a sense of completeness, even though you may be very unhappy about it, or it might have been a very traumatic or negative experience. So there is a process about having peace or being complete. Now, you can get complete with someone, something, some event, some trauma, something, and that does not mean it won't ever come up again. It doesn't mean it won't ever come to mind. It simply means you have made your peace with it. If it comes up again, as I have had many situations where I've gotten complete, I've made peace with my past, and then sometime later it shows up again. And I think, oh, I thought I was done with that. There must be more. And then I seize the opportunity to revisit what am I thinking about it and process my emotions with any new information or data or things that have changed over time, which I do address in my emotional processing workbook diagram and in the workbook. But I don't do that in a brooding, ruminating, or catastrophizing, overthinking way. So I'm going to take a little sidebar on this podcast topic to address brooding, overthinking, ruminating, catastrophizing, negative thinking in what I call like a swirling vortex. I've talked to many people since last year, a lot of people since last year, about my terminology of a swirling vortex or a runaway train with respect to brooding, overthinking, ruminating, catastrophizing, negative thinking, and the people I have intimate conversations with. These are not people in my circle. These are strangers. Will go, oh yeah, like they know instantly what I mean by the swirling vortex or the runaway train. They get lost in this negative thinking. I used to call it, or I have called it in the past, the negative thinking pack, P-A-C-K, to refer to brooding, overthinking, ruminating, catastrophizing, and the like. So in this topic of having peace with the past, this has to be addressed, in my opinion, because this is where some people struggle with making peace with the past. So if you tend to be someone who engages in negative thinking or any of these behaviors, you might already know that it's not helpful to you. I suspect that you do. You may or may not, but here's the important thing about this brooding, overthinking, ruminating, catastrophizing, negative thinking is that thought precedes emotion. We know from the research, thought precedes emotion. What are you doing? Well, if you're brooding, overthinking, ruminating, catastrophizing, negative thinking, your thoughts are then negative because that's typically what people are doing. We would probably call it something else if you were operating in the positive emotions. But then your negative thinking then precedes negative emotions. I am not trying to in any way disparage or bastardize negative thinking. I am not. Or having difficult, painful emotions. No, you have to have all of the emotions. But this way of thinking, where you kind of get caught in a trap of brooding and ruminating and overthinking and catastrophizing, that can lead you down a very dark path. And obviously, it will produce, if you're negative thinking, if your thinking is negative, you're going to end up with negative emotions. The reason I bring this up is because we know from the research this type of thinking is not helpful to you. It's not ideal in any way. And you can learn to change your thinking. You can learn to control your mind. When I'm talking about making peace with the past, this way of thinking is one area that will be problematic for some people to make peace with the past, which is why I'm including it as a sidebar. If you are known to be a negative thinker, overthink, catastrophize, ruminate, brood, etc., this is how you think. This is like your MO. This is the way you operate. So that will make it difficult to put the past in the past and make peace with the past. So if you know this is kind of your type of thinking, I have several podcasts I would invite you to and request that you listen to help you move away from the negative thinking pack, because you know, for some people who engage in this, they end up literally on the couch or tanked for hours, days, or longer. It's very painful. I mean, I've worked closely with people who are heavy into this, and it's painful. It's a very painful, it's almost like a disabling way of thinking for some people who are on the extreme side of it. So the podcasts that I would suggest for you are, number one, The Power of Your Mind. Two, The Subconscious and Unconscious Mind. Three, Influences on Your Thinking. Four, Learning to Control Your Mind. And five, Being Present and Mindful. Your mind is exceptionally powerful. You literally have no idea, probably, or most people don't. Because I think if you understood the power of your mind, you would probably be doing things differently. So start with the Power of Your Mind podcast and then look at the other ones I just suggested. This whole negative thinking pack has some very significant harmful effects, which I covered in negative thinking got you down in some other podcast. My request is that you do not beat yourself up right now or later today or tomorrow or next week if this is how you think. That is not going to be helpful either. You probably ended up as somebody who thinks negatively or broods or overthinks or ruminates or catastrophizes because of the environment you grew up in, because of the way you were treated, because you didn't have psychological safety, and for many other factors which are not your fault. So my suggestion is, not your fault, almost assuredly, if that's how you think, yet because of neuroplasticity of the brain, we know that you're not stuck thinking that way. Actually, people have learned to control their minds since the beginning of time. And it's very interesting because people, philosophers, writers, great leaders have written about being in control of your mind thousands of years ago. So use this as an opportunity to grow and develop and change your thinking. Because in terms of making peace with the past, this is a very problematic way of thinking. Okay, that's the sidebar. Now I'm going to go into the before peace, pre-making peace stage. In this, before you begin to make peace with the past, I suggest that you have a little work to do. Not much, but a little work. And that will help you then get into making peace with the past. So the first thing you have to do is, you know, identify whatever it is that you're not at peace with, or whatever baggage you have from the past, or whatever wounds or traumas or situations that are not positive that you're not at peace with. So you have to identify whatever it is. The second step here in this before you begin is, what are you thinking about that? You have to identify what your thoughts are. What do you think about it? Like the whole thing about what you're thinking, because as we've established, your thoughts precede emotions. So you have to kind of figure out, what are you thinking? And then you have to do the emotional processing that comes with it. Now, most of these situations where it's baggage or it's painful or there's been a betrayal, they're painful. So you have to deal with the pain. There's no skipping over grief, pain, loss, betrayal. There's no skipping over that, people. I'd love to have a magic pill for you, but I don't. And we know that the emotions you don't process don't magically float away. They lay in wait in your subconscious, unconscious mind. So I want to give you a little example by way of trying to illustrate this for you, because it's very conceptual and I'd like to try to put it in real life. So from a previous podcast, I have Lydia, who has an Aunt Paula, who Aunt Paula passed away, and Lydia and her Aunt Paula were besties. They were like besties. Even though Lydia had a fine relationship with her mother, she was besties with Aunt Paula. They did everything together, and Lydia would take care of anything that her Aunt Paula needed. They were just like thick as thieves. When Aunt Paula passed away, though, Aunt Paula's children cut Lydia out of their mother's passing and out of their mother's life completely. Now, Aunt Paula's children could have been close with their mother, they just weren't. But they cut Lydia out, knowing full well that Lydia did all this stuff for their mom and their mom loved it, you know, Lydia. So this is like the pre-stage for Lydia to deal with this before she makes peace, because this is very painful for Lydia that she was not able to be with her beloved Aunt Paula when she passed. And there wasn't any reason other than Aunt Paula's children's, you know, cast her out. So Lydia's dealing with this, trying to deal with this. And Lydia's husband says that his view, from his point of view, from his perspective, he thinks that Aunt Paula's three children were acting out of jealousy, anger, resentment, because Lydia was so close to their mother. And even though nothing stopped Aunt Paula's own children from being close with their mom, the three kids, Aunt Paula's three children, were just jealous, envious, and resentful. And then when their mother passed, then it was too late. It was too late for them to make up for the time they lost. So that's what Lydia's husband shares with Lydia as a point of view. So Lydia begins to think about it. She takes in her husband's thoughts and begins to mull it over and looks at what happened and the different dynamics. Really, for Lydia, she ends up thinking that her husband's probably right, because she just can't seem to come up with any other cause other than they feel guilty. And so now Lydia is the fall guy or the bad guy. So Lydia has identified the situation. She has identified, you know, what she's thinking about it and how she feels. And she has done the emotional work to deal with her sorrow, her grief, her loss, her pain, feeling betrayed by her first cousins, etc. So that's kind of an example of like the pre-work. So you're going to do the pre-work and then you're going to begin to make peace. Well, I'm laughing. This is not funny. This is not funny, but it's very helpful. But, you know, you're going to want to bring some closure to whatever it is for the time being. Now, this situation, whatever it is that you're dealing with, it's probably highly likely or extremely likely that it will come up later. And that's okay. If it comes up later, then you look at it again. You see, is there new information? Is there, you know, something else? Or maybe you recognize that some other feeling or some other emotion or something, you know, you realize, oh, there was poisoning in the well or there was something else, and you process your emotions all over again. So, you know, we're not talking about sweet, lovely memories, people, because they don't seem to, I've never met anybody who had a problem other than regret with a sweet, sweet memory. So as you make peace with a painful situation of whatever nature it was, I do recommend in this process of making peace, asking yourself, what can I learn? How can I benefit? What good can come from this? What opportunities are there for my growth? Now, having worked with people for as long as I have, I can tell you, this is extremely difficult for some, if not most people. And for some, it's almost impossible. And there are some painful situations that are, even in my view, with my optimism bias, very problematic to come up with some growth or learning or opportunity. At the same time, we know from post-traumatic growth, which often involves death or bereavement, that people find a way to become a better version of themselves and have life be richer or more rewarding. So there's a book or more books on post-traumatic growth. That's really using your emotional pain to your advantage, which I have a podcast titled Using Your Emotional Pain to Your Advantage. And that's really the whole nutshell of the research on post-traumatic growth, which is quite interesting. Way too many flow charts and graphs and data for me, because I only want to know the high points. So let's say while you're processing your emotions, you've done the pre-work. Now, let's say you came out of a and the reason, of course, this is so important is, how many people do you know who are still bringing up their divorce from 20 years ago? They're talking about their divorce from literally 20 years ago, like it just happened, or 10 years ago, or whatever. But that's common. So let's say you came out of a toxic, abusive marriage or relationship. What are some of the things you could say to yourself, or you could have in your thoughts? Well, how about, I have X number of beautiful children. I survived horrible abuse. Good on me. I learned about psychopaths or narcissists or narcissism, or I learned about tactics of abuse, or I didn't let my soul get crushed, or I learned blah, blah, blah. And in some cases, or many cases, you learned what not to do moving forward. So for me, this is especially powerful for the situations that involve abuse, betrayal, fraud, theft, and other very horrible things. What are any and all of the positives that you can take away from the situation, and what can you learn? You may have to brainstorm. You may have to wait until the situation, event, or whatever happened is not so fresh and raw. I don't typically advise or recommend you doing this right after it happened, because I am a fan of processing your emotions. That, for me, is a slow go. That does not happen overnight. You do a little bit here and a little bit there, because painful things are too painful to deal with all at once. It's too much. So if it's very fresh, then you might have to wait. But you do not want to be one of these people 20 years after a nasty divorce, that's still your topic of conversation. You can do that. And if that's how you want to do it, I fully support you. It's just not, I don't agree with that. So certain things like death, though, are much harder. They're just much harder. And again, because of the amount of research in post-traumatic growth, we know that death and bereavement and loss from death are sources for people to find and come up with a better version of themselves. So you do, in this section, you do have to really not only get with your thinking, but you've got to process your emotions. This is not what people do or they know how to do. You have to face the pain, and again, not all at once, or the betrayal, or the backstabbing, or whatever happened, or the cruelty. You have to process those emotions, which, of course, I have a workbook on my website to help you. It's free. You don't have to register. You have to deal with the emotional pieces. If you don't, those emotions will, according to the research, lay in wait for another day. Now, then the question becomes, what is the narrative you're creating to close out this chapter or event? So here's a sample little narrative. Such and such were viciously and maliciously cruel and vindictive towards me by doing X, Y, and Z. I have learned they are not for me, even though they are pretending to be for me. I have learned I'm stronger than I thought. I have learned that those people are not self-aware and they are simply mean and cruel. I am proud of myself for taking the high road. This has been a painful and traumatic experience. I am grateful I now have their true colors and know that they are not trustworthy. So that's a little stab at a sample narrative. But you have to close it out, but you have to like bring some closure to it. And my emotional workbook will help you because sometimes there's decisions. So this next piece of the podcast I've titled Special Considerations or Situations. There are things that complicate making peace with the past. So the first area I have, which is a big one, is grief, loss, and death. They're different things, but I've grouped them together. Sometimes grief and loss comes together. Sometimes grief and death, you know, like it comes all different ways. We in society, in the world, are pretty much terrible at grief and loss and death. We're just not good in those areas and with those emotions. Some of the things that happen to you in life that you're trying to make peace with involve grief or loss. Or something that falls under grief or loss. And sometimes you will have a loss or grief that you will carry with you over a lifetime. So my suggestion about this whole making peace is you're going to make peace with it. And then sometime later, something will remind you of that loss or your grief. And you'll feel your grief. You'll grieve it out. You'll deal with that and make peace with it again. But it's not staying with you every day, every week, every month. It is an occasional showing up. So just so we're clear, making peace with your past doesn't mean it will never come up. I mean, there are certain losses and certain deaths that you will grieve your whole lifetime, but it doesn't need to be every single day, every single moment, every single month, every year. So grief, loss, and death are complicating factors to putting the past in the past. That does not mean you cannot do it, though. And underneath the umbrella of grief, loss, and death, or inherent in grief, loss, and death, are sometimes regrets, broken dreams or broken promises, unfulfilled expectations, thwarted intentions, mistakes, misunderstandings or miscommunication, things that were not said or things that were not done or things that were said or done, or unfairness, just to give you a light sampling. Now, those are common. They're actually common things that for some people can prevent you from putting the past in the past. My suggestion is, you can deal with those things. You actually can deal with them. It starts with you identifying, what are you thinking about that? What are you thinking about the situation, the person, the experience, which will then give you the emotions. So these things make it more complicated or more complex, yet they can all be dealt with. They absolutely can all be dealt with, in my experience. Now, part of this thing when dealing with putting the past in the past is sometimes when you're working to put the past in the past, sometimes there will just be instances where you have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself because you didn't know X, or you didn't know Y, or you didn't know Z, or you didn't recognize red flags, or you didn't know that this person was a con artist or a thief or a narcissist or an abuser. Like, you might have to just forgive yourself in some way in some cases. Look and see. I don't know. That's in the workbook. But like myself and some other people, we have unknowingly and unwittingly held ourselves accountable or responsible for things we could have never known or could have never seen. I know I've done that in the past. I'm laughing. It's not funny. It was actually very painful. But yet the recognition that I was holding myself responsible for something I never could have known was then very freeing, because I could change my thinking. Like, you know, there are things you don't know, and you might, because of how your subconscious and unconscious mind works, you might unknowingly or unwittingly be holding yourself responsible inappropriately. So there are many complications. Regrets are hard. Broken dreams are hard. Unfairness. All of those things are unfair or not good, but they can be dealt with. So I'm not trying to minimize or in any way say, oh yeah, this is easy, just deal with it. But this is a skill set I'm talking about, which begins with self-awareness. What are you thinking? What exactly happened? What is the totality of it? Which is why in my workbook, I have a diagram and then information about the different aspects. When you're putting the past in the past, you're not only going to identify your thinking, but you are going to deal with your emotions. So my workbook should be your go-to thing, in my humble opinion, because it's fairly straightforward and it's also fairly complete. We don't skip over things. So the next piece of this, I want to say, this happens over time. This is not usually a once and done for most of us. No, it's not. And I will say that I have sometimes thought, okay, I've made peace with that. And then months later, a year later, or whenever, it comes up again. And I'm just like, wow, I can't believe that. I really thought I was complete with that. And then I go through the steps again. Now, there are some common situations like divorce or death or other things where other people outside of you or life or other situations or circumstances will bring up the past. Now, if you got divorced and you had children, those children or having children, you could be reminded of your divorce on a regular basis. And that is how some people operate. I am just not a fan of operating on the negative people. I'm not. I do have the optimism bias. So my way of thinking is that my kids are mine. My kids and I are a unit. And I have jettisoned my abuser from my thoughts, from any consideration, unless someone else brings that into my thinking. So this has to come from something outside of me. Now, that is not what's typical for people who've gone through a divorce, or even sometimes people who are dealing with a death or other kind of loss. So not only have I made peace with a horrible, terrible situation, I have other things to say, because why would I want to think of someone who is abusive to me every day or every week? No, I'm not okay with that. So not only have I made peace, but that doesn't mean I'm happy about what happened. No, what happened was horrible, traumatic, abusive, and unacceptable in every way. Yet I am focused on creating my own beautiful life and my future to have it be the way I want it to be, which is where my thoughts are. It's where my focus is. It's also where my thinking is. So if I'm being in the present moment, which I'm a big fan of, and I have goals and intentions and I'm working on my beautiful future, where is the past going to come raise its head if not from some outside source? This is not common a way for people to do it. There are people who have been done dirty or something horrible happened to them, and they think about their abuser or the person who did them dirty all the time. I am simply unwilling to have anyone occupy my time and my thinking that doesn't serve me and serve my beautiful future. So this is possible if you do the emotional work. Now, the next piece of this might be helpful if you have something that's constantly being reminded of. So I have a title, Belongings and Depersonalization. So referring to a former intimate partner, a spouse, a significant other, this could also apply to a best friend, a coworker, or family. Referring to them as that woman or that man, when they did you dirty, broke your heart, broke your promises, stole your money, or did whatever, is one way to depersonalize them and put distance between you and whoever that is, which I found out in 2018 after I had been doing it for a while that is actually therapy approved. The therapist was laughing and she kicked me out of therapy and said, oh yeah, that's great. That's depersonalization. That's excellent. So you could do that or not. I find it very freeing and very powerful. Nobody gets the term ex-husband if they're my abuser, or ex-spouse if they were horrible to me. Those are terms of endearment for me. So they don't even get an ex term of endearment. They get that man, that whatever, that whomever. No, I'm not having nice terms for bad people. I will say something else, bad people. You can do whatever you want. You could call them thing one and thing two, but you could depersonalize the situation. Now, if you have, children with someone, I would just not refer to them at all. You have to be careful when you have children because they can take it personally and they can feel like you're against them. So, but I'm talking about if you're with your friends or other people other than your children, I would strongly suggest depersonalization. And the next piece of this is belongings. When there has been a painful situation, which could be a trauma, it could be a betrayal, it could be other horrible circumstance, you may be reminded of the situation or the person or the whatever by personal belongings, by furniture, household goods, photographs, etc., which would be normal. That would be reasonable. That would be normal people. Oh, yes, we bought that chest on our, second anniversary or, So some people hold on to that stuff, and that's fine. That's absolutely your choice. I personally am suggesting that holding on to belongings or possessions of any kind that have an attachment to trauma, to pain, to suffering, to loss, to heartbreak, it's probably not in your best interest. If you want to put the past in the past, why would you want to be reminded of trauma? Why would you want to be reminded of pain? I don't know, but if you've been following along on my podcast, you know that I got rid of almost everything from a bad situation, replacing it when I could, because it was multiple traumas and it was horrible abuse. It was just horrible. Got rid of things over time, not all at once. And actually last year, I made a decision which had a lot of thought involved, but I had a cross-stitched, it was actually a counted cross-stitched piece of handiwork that was nicely framed with a beautiful saying and sheep that had my daughter Christina's name embroidered, cross-stitched into it, very tiny, you'd really have to look for it, who had passed away in utero when I was 6 months pregnant. And I'd held on to it because it had her name in there. And what I realized was that was a reminder of a terrible trauma, and I wanted a reminder of her and you know, my feelings for her, and I didn't have to have it be through that counted cross stitch thing, even though it was beautiful and pretty, because I could get a beautiful angel statue, or I could get something else that had no association with the past, have her name on it, and I could be very happy. It did not have to come from that counted cross stitch thing where I had her name in it. And I'm like, I'm very excited about that, actually. I'm very excited. And I have to tell you on this note that I think it might have been when I was in college. But at any rate, I was visiting my grandmother back in the day when I was young. And I don't remember why, but we were getting into her walk-in closet in the spare bedroom, and we had to take a lot of stuff out. And one of the things we took out was this child's rocking chair. So I pulled it out and I said, "Oh, Grandma Jo, this is so cute. This is adorable. Let's go put this in your living room. Or where are we going to put this? Because you can't keep it in the closet. It's too cute." And she went on a little tirade about she hated that chair. It was hers from when she was a child. The rockers were too short, so she would always fall over and hit her head. And I said, "Oh," she said, "take that out and have Pop-Pop burn it. We're going to burn it." I'm like, "Oh, no, you're not burning this." And she said, "Then you put it in your car," because I'm like, "I am not having that." And I did end up with her rocking chair. But so she had a terrible association with her childhood rocking chair. And she didn't get rid of it. I mean, she did eventually give it to me, but she put it away in a closet. So some of the stuff, if you can't get rid of it or part with it, you could put it away where you don't have to see it. You could put it in storage. You don't have to look at things. And I'm inviting you to explore. Are you self-punishing yourself by looking at something that you know? Like, I had to beg for certain things. Beg for certain basic household items. So do you think I want to be reminded by looking at a mixer or something else of how I had to get? No, I'm not going to be reminded of that BS. So maybe for you, you could consider, maybe I'm throwing gasoline on the fire by keeping some of this stuff. Maybe I should pass it on to my kids who won't have the trauma. Maybe I should put it in storage, or maybe I really don't need it. Like, I don't know, but that's something to consider. The next piece of this is while you're making peace with the past, look for any repeating patterns or themes, because you can gain wisdom, clarity, self-awareness, and power. I mean, I will tell you, I was making peace with a relationship with a former neighbor once, who was kind of exploiting me, which I probably didn't notice, but another neighbor brought it to my attention. And then I was like, I was dealing with my emotions and putting things in the past, blah, 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 blah. And I realized, this has a little familiar ring to it. There are some people who really like to exploit my good nature. So look for any repeating patterns or themes, because that can lead you to a breakthrough. My next piece in this making peace with the past is, in some instances, you may have to walk away. I know that can be painful. In some cases, you can't do it. But there are many situations, or some situations, where it's the only appropriate thing to do. Now, if you get triggered by someone, an event, a situation, or something, you probably won't know that you got triggered. And you may do something abruptly, which is what we typically do when we're triggered. And so I'm bringing up walking away because sometimes it's the right thing to do, even though it's painful. Sometimes it's the only thing to do and you're not happy about it. But that can be part of this whole making peace with the past, is you might have to walk away. The next piece of this is what I call do-overs or fresh starts. Well, I am a fan of fresh starts, new beginnings, and do-overs. And sometimes when you're making peace with the past, you might have a recognition. Oh, you know what? we could probably fix this. We could probably start fresh. We could probably do something different. And if both parties or a group of people are willing, and they're willing to put the past in the past and do a fresh start, it can be beautiful and it can be amazing. And I do have a podcast of, I think, about starting over, a new beginning. So that's a possibility. When you're making peace with the past, you might have an aha moment going, oh, you know what? I wonder if we could salvage this. But it has to be everybody involved at the table agreeing. And if one of those people is going to constantly bring up the past, then that's probably not going to work. But at any rate, the other podcast I mentioned will help you. So in this whole making peace with the past, you get the idea. It's not a once and done. Like, I have many things that I really was sure I was complete with, and then I found out something else, or something else happened, and then I revisited it. So it's a dynamic process is what I'm saying. I do really want you to understand how helpful and how valuable post-traumatic growth can be to this process. Because when you have pain, it's painful. There's just no way around. Pain is pain. Pain is pain, and pain is painful. If you can glean something from it so you become a better version of yourself, and as a result, life becomes richer and more rewarding, isn't that something? Yes, it's something. Then if you add focusing on your future, which we now know is called perspection, that's going to be amazing. So I guess for you, my strongest recommendation is that you focus on being present in the moment while you are taking actions towards your beautiful future, the one you're creating. Because when I do that, like, how is it something from the past is going to, like, you know, be in my mind all the time? No, what's in my mind? I'm being present and I'm working on this beautiful future, which is why for me, somebody has to remind me of this, that, or the next thing. It's just not in my purview because I'm focused on being in the present and creating my future, taking actions, taking goals. So I hope that you will move away from having the past, the painful past, the betrayal, the hurts, the traumas, the wounds, be with you all the time, because they don't have to be if you make peace with your past. Now, you can drag your past into your future. You can do that. There are people who do that. There are people who are committed to that, and that's simply your choice. I personally don't find that helpful. Now, you may find in this making peace with the past that some of what you're dealing with is actually trauma. You might not recognize it as trauma because we're not talking about trauma. We're not laying out for people, oh, this is trauma, this is trauma, this is trauma. Oh, being bullied by a sibling, that's trauma. No, we're not even talking about up to 80% of children in America are bullied by their sibling or mistreated. So you might not recognize that this situation you're trying to make peace with is a trauma. That would be reasonable. I only found out in 2018 I ever had any traumas. I didn't even know what they were. But so that would complicate things. I have several podcasts about trauma, generational triumphs and trauma, trauma bonding, trauma responses. That could be very likely in the mix. And if it's a trauma, there could be a trauma bond with someone, because that's kind of how trauma works. There's frequently a trauma bond. And that would need to get sorted out if you're making peace with your past. Very helpful. I only found out about betrayal trauma, trauma bonding, and betrayal blindness last year. It's been incredible. It's amazing. So that could be part of the mix. And a trauma bond will keep things perpetuating until you recognize there's a trauma bond, and then you take the actions to break it, because a trauma bond kind of perpetuates the abuse. So that's the overview. That's the roadmap of making peace with your past, which I am a diehard fan of. I don't know why you want to keep rehashing and rehashing painful things. Maybe you do, but I don't. I want to deal with it, get it done, manage or process my emotions. And then if it comes up, you know, sometime later, okay, now we'll look at it again. Oh, is there something we missed? Oh, yeah, we missed that there was trauma. We missed that there was a trauma bond. We missed whatever. And then you get with your thinking and do the whole process again. So I hope this has been helpful, because my commitment for you is that you have this beautiful, amazing life where you are happy, you are healthy, you are well-loved, and life is great for you. Taking baggage from 10 years ago, last month, last year, or whenever into your beautiful future, I don't get that. I don't see that as helpful or valuable or good in any way. And you are still welcome to do that if you want. Like, you know, it's your life. I hope this has been helpful. I do love you. Take care for now. I'm Lisa Lundy saying thank you for listening to my Love Life podcast, episode number 226, Making Peace with the Past. I certainly hope you will embark on the journey to make peace with your past and have a beautiful future for yourself. Let me know how I can help you. Please share this podcast on social media to help other people. That's it. Love you.